The following is a public service announcement from Just Food. Help bring live chickens into food challenge communities through your donations to the Just Food City Chicken Project 2011. The City Chicken Project would not be possible without the volunteer hours, donations large and small, and the vibrant energy and ideas of the communities we work with. Just Food is a nonprofit organization that connects New York City communities and local and urban farmers with the resources and support they need to make fresh, locally grown food accessible to all. To donate, search on Kickstarter.com for Just Food and find their City Chicken Project. For more information on Just Food, visit justfood.org or call 212-645-9880. That's 212-645-9880. Let's keep making New York City a better place to live and eat.
You're listening to Let's Eat In. I'm your host, Kathy Irway.
Woo-woo!
And that's our guest, Kadeem O.
Hello.
So this is the Everly Brothers, Kathy's Clown, as the theme song. But Kadeem here is a musician himself who makes very much a more modern beats.
Yeah. I think I would love to make like folk music.
Yeah. I saw you digging it. You're like bopping around.
So. Yeah.
I was like, what? Anyway, so welcome to Heritage Radio Network. That was a lovely intro from Just Food. We'll see them next week on the show, too. It's talking about the City Chicken Project. And Kadeem, we're going to talk about kimchi.
That all sounds kimchi, great.
Because he is the founder, proprietor, what else do you want to call chef of Mama O's Kimchi?
I prefer Picklemeister.
Picklemeister, fermentator.
Sure. Yeah, Uncle O, the kimchi king of the LES.
Okay. Not Mama O, though.
No. I guess she's just like the
mascot.
Yeah. No, well, more like the queen, you know.
Aww.
Yeah. If she's the queen, I guess I couldn't be the king. I'm just like the prince then, yeah. I'm more the prince.
I'm the prince of
pickle cabbage.
And as mentioned, he's also a musician, and his band is awesome. It's called the Beatards.
Yay. And, you know, quick plug, yo, my album's about to drop in July, MTR Records, holla.
Are you touring?
We're setting up a tour, starting on the West Coast, with, Dub Frequency. There are PR, company that's promoting the whole project.
Wow. Kadeem, you're just blowing up all over the place. You have a band, a record coming out. You have kimchi that is growing, a business that is growing faster and faster than ever. And you just started it, a year or two ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
You have now a deli in Queens.
I do.
That you operate and sell kimchi at too, right?
Yeah. it's great because I was just in a blog, the Bushwick blog.
I don't know. Okay.
And so now people, whenever I'm working, I'll see a couple people, and the deli, it's in like a Ecuadorian, Mexican, Polish neighborhood. So then every so once in a while, I'll see some, you know, a couple people with flannel shirts and beards come in, and then I'm like, they're here for the kimchi. Yes. So it's
but
great.
You can also find your kimchi all around Brooklyn at stores like Brooklyn Kitchen and so forth.
Brooklyn Kitchen, Marlowe and Daughters. I think they're the first people to carry it in Brooklyn. And then...
Green Grape Provisions.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Green Grape, Ketchel Products, Park Slope Food Co-op, who are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great now.
And one thing I like about your kimchi is that you really try to promote cooking with the kimchi, not just eating it straight, which is great too. I remember at first, like markets when you were just coming out, you had this kimchi salsa that you would serve up with chips and fresh tomato and onion and kimchi all chopped up in there. It's a good idea.
So good.
And tell me more about this experimentation with cooking with kimchi. I hear something about a kimchi palooza.
Oh yeah. Okay. So. July 10th, it's going to be part of Cookout NYC that Jimmy Carbone from, what's it, the good...
So many things.
The good, yeah, I know, right?
Good Beer Seal. He has a show here called Beer Sessions.
Right.
Jimmy's number 43.
Right. So Jimmy, actually, this, you know how, you know, it's funny, you know how this all came about is when I went to go visit you at Jimmy's for your book signing.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Jimmy about this idea that I had, and he was like, this is going to be my Jimmy impression. Hey, what you should do is, I'm doing this thing, Cookout NYC, Governor's Island, do it there, and then done.
Cool.
And so the idea evolved. What I was originally thinking about doing was doing a kimchi eating contest, because I just thought that would be so funny and disgusting at the same time. And but it kind of grew from there, from just a kimchi eating contest. So at Kimchi Palooza, July 10th, Governor's Island, there's going to be two kimchi eating contests for cash prizes. Anyone that's interested in signing up, go to my website, Kimchi Rules. Holler at me. But then there are also going to be two other contests. One is a homemade kimchi contest, where everyone that has been making kimchi or wants to make it can bring theirs in county fair style and compete for a cash prize. And then
I'm going to do that totally.
But wait up, you're a judge.
Oh, sorry. Oh, I'm not going to do that. Okay.
But, you know, maybe you can, you know, sneak it in under your okay. your alter ego. what's your alter ego? Jenna Studemeyer?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, yeah. And then
I don't know what that was.
And then the other thing that which I think is going to be great, which is really a proponent that I'm trying to push about kimchi, is cooking with it, creating with it, because a lot of people, a lot of the times, some feedback I get from customers is like, yeah, I got it, but now I don't know what to do with it. And so the idea that I had was to have maybe like a dozen restaurants in the city make creative dishes with kimchi, and then once again, you can judge what you think is the best.
I can't wait to see what they come up with, too. Because I know there's a lot of traditional Korean things to make, like a pork stew with kimchi, omelets with kimchi.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't wait to see how many other things you can come up with. It's really an all-around topping, or I don't know even what. I once stuffed some baklava. No, what was it? It was like a little puff pastries with kimchi. That's yummy.
Mm. Well, you know, kimchi does go with everything, so it's that doesn't surprise me at all.
What do you say to people when they're like kind of turned off by kimchi because it smells funky, fermented, and you know, they're just, it's so unusual, it's so bizarre to them.
First of all, the first thing I call them is a racist. And then once I get that out of the way, then I tell them about the health benefits of kimchi and why it's so good, because Dr. Oz, he named it one of the top 10 healthiest foods in the world. And the reason is because it's got so many probiotic enzymes in there that it's really good for your digestive system as well as your immune system, too.
So the kimchi eating contest winners will be totally A-OK. Oh, actually, even better.
They're not,
they started off with.
Yeah, they're not going to get sick for maybe 30 minutes until they have to throw up all the kimchi, because I really want to see how much people can put away, because I've gotten some interest, and people are like, oh man, I'm gonna eat like 10 pounds of it. I'm like, okay.
And what's some of your favorite things to cook with the kimchi? I've seen your stew.
Yeah, yeah.
I've tried it.
That's my favorite, definitely. Like, if you have it in the wintertime, it's and you're feeling a little under the weather, life changing. It's just so good. You can just feel yourself like coming back to health. But that's one. The kimchi salsa, that's another favorite, great for the summer. But what I'm also developing right now is my kim chili, which is
that sounds great.
Yeah, chili with daikon kimchi. It's so good.
So kimchi is really good hot and cold and anywhere in between.
Yes, right? and the next level is, gonna let people in on a little secret, frozen.
Ooh.
Mm.
Kimchi popsicle? Oh, sorry. Okay.
Maybe.
Ice cream? No.
Yeah, kimchi sherbet. yeah. It's going to be like a baked Alaska.
That sounds great.
Except with kimchi. But yeah, other favorites. I mean, it'll sometimes even be as just simple as like just putting it on a hot dog, because a dog with some chi on top.
Dog, yeah.
Yeah.
So all this talk about the probiotic benefits of it. I have seen some recipes, and I will not mention names, but a recent New York Times article came out by a writer that I adore. Mm. But there was a kimchi recipe in it that was like quick pickled. There was no fermentation.
Oh, yeah.
What's up with that?
I don't know.
It has to be picked. I mean, it has to be.
It's definitely all funky. About the open air fermentation, so that it happens naturally, because a lot of people think that because it's sour, there's added vinegar, but it's all naturally produced. It could be also now kimchi's so forgive the pun hot that I think people's definitions of it are kind of, you know, getting
kimchi
a little
style
loose.
Quick pickles, yeah, I guess. Kimchi flavored cabbage salad, slaw, something. I can see how that would, you know, be a nice quick fix, because it does take about a week to ferment.
It takes time, and a lot of people, you know, they don't really have the time or the energy to
or the confidence. I mean, sometimes you know, you can mess up.
And let me tell you can definitely over ferment it, because I've had some people, they're like, it's been out here for 2 months now, and I'm like, ooh. Okay, let's give it a shout.
So hopefully the Kimchi Palooza will be a good learning experience. And I hear you're having a workshop, like a kimchi cooking class too?
Yeah, it's going to be great. Michaela Hayes from Gramercy Tavern, she's going to come and do a kimchi making demo. I'm also working out maybe a couple other demos. If there are any like budding kimchi scientists out there that, you know, think they have something that they really want to show the world, well, Kimchi Palooza will be, you know, great stage for that.
Cool. Check out Kimchi Rules and hit up Kadeem that way if you're one of those. Let's cut to your song first for a little break.
Awesome.
What is it?
It's a song, Get Light, that was just featured in a commercial for this crazy water jetpack.
Cool. Like,
can't even describe it, but if you go to YouTube, just say Jet Lev the Beatards or Get Light, just check out the video. It's all about fun positivity. It's like Wu-Tang, it's for the kids.
Cool.
Every time that I speak through the speakers, upside down with my feet first, helium got all up in my sneakers. Tom Cruise, top gunning in my Air Force One, ones never stop air walking like I'm old school skater Tony Hawk, not tripping while I'm drifting to the top. A lot of dudes said it fly, but we be more like the sky. You can watch us blowing up like it's the 4th of July. We make music all day, every day, it's just how we survive. I cannot work 9 to 5, believe me dude, I have tried. After one day I get fried, give me two, I get five. Some people call it a curse, but I've been blessed with this vibe. So I rise with my eyes to the sky, and my back always turned to the haters. We get lifted, we get light, we get weightless.
This is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Every Tuesday at noon, Dave Arnold, the author of CookingIssues.com, will discuss new and innovative techniques, equipment, and ingredients. Call in with your own questions to see if Dave and the crew can solve your cooking issues. Again, that's Tuesdays at noon on the Heritage Radio Network.
All right, we're back on Let's Eat In. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and this is our guest, Kadeem O. From Mama O's Kimchi and the Beatards, which we just heard a track from. That was awesome, by the way. I can totally see how it's like the summer jam. That was
Yeah, it just makes you feel like, you know, rent's due, not really, you know. I'll figure it out. We'll make it.
Life goes on.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So one other reason to love your new deli, in addition to having kimchi there, I hear that you have this little garden on the side lot of the where you're growing like tomatoes and peppers and cucumbers and all sorts of shit.
Yeah, yeah. Radishes, cilantro.
Is this like an empty parking lot or?
No, it's like, you know how on the side of buildings they'll be like, it'll be fenced off for some unknown reason? Well, so I have like 6 feet on the side of my building that's
a garden.
Fenced off, yeah. So I went to Home Depot. I made these raised bed gardens that are about 3 feet by 6 feet, and planting tomatoes, cilantro, radishes. I just had some of the radishes, basil.
Are you gonna pickle some of the radishes?
Oh yeah.
Oh cool!
But they're so good, just out of the ground, and it's just
nice
like,
and juicy.
Yeah, and it's amazing because they come to fruition in a month, 30 days. Right? Isn't that
like
crazy?
Like sparkler radishes, little guys, or
yeah, I got the little, you know, the little red ones that you eat with tacos in LA.
Uh huh. Yeah. Cool.
And so that's really great. I'm really excited about that. And also, one of the reasons why I wanted to do that was because at a deli you generate a lot of compostable materials. Like the deli's like, it's not like a fancy deli. It's a straight up bodega. Like, you want beer, you want blunts, you want a bacon, egg, and cheese, anything else that starts with a B, I got you. And so we'll make, you know, we'll have a lot of eggshells and coffee grounds. And also making the kimchi, there's a lot of cabbage that is perfectly fine, but I wouldn't be able to serve it. So it's a lot of good organic material that like, you know, just breaks my heart every time. I just have to throw away a big bag of it. So now composting it and then working it into the earth, and it's good.
Wow. Did you ever garden before?
I mowed the lawn.
Wow. Do it yourself. That's awesome. So this is kind of like a home garden. You're just going to kind of use them for this and that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's like I make a lot of, I use a lot of cilantro. So why not just grow some? And it's
bacon,
also...
Bacon, egg, and cilantro. That's the next...
I think I'll have to name that sandwich called the Urway. Hey, let me get an Urway. Okay. With jalapenos. Yeah,
and kimchi.
Bacon,
egg, and kimchi and cilantro. Okay, let's bring it to Governor's Island.
Perfect. That's going to be Kathy's entry under her pseudonym.
Check it out, everyone. No. Okay, I love asking this question. Perfect date meal. Perhaps not from a bodega. Maybe it is from a bodega.
Oh.
What would it be? Doesn't have to include, can include kimchi. Doesn't matter.
A perfect date meal.
I'll go with
spaghetti and meatballs.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, it's that whole Lady and the Tramp.
Lady
influence.
And the Tramp. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And then, you know, if a girl can suck down a plate of spaghetti and do it like somewhat elegantly, then you're onto something.
What is elegantly?
Well, you know,
because I didn't think that was very elegant when they were like, you know, in the movie. Was it?
Yeah,
maybe it was.
They don't have hands. They're dogs. You know, got to cut them some slack. You know, they're doing pretty good for a couple of strays. But elegantly, you know, like maybe it doesn't have to use the spoon, because sometimes I feel this, you know, using the spoon is a bit pretentious. You know?
I never see people use spoons anymore.
Yeah, right,
no.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So maybe no spoon, but like good like twirling technique, you know, ability to lift it, you know, off the plate without like this there being this big long hanging strand, not too much slurping, and then the slurping, like, you know, spots of marinara get everywhere. So yeah, basically, yeah, I think that would be pretty good. Or just pho is so good.
Pho, nice.
Yeah,
another slurp worthy dish though. Something about noodles
it is. Yeah, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. What, and is it the spice? If the do you like your pho with like lots of fresh jalapenos? Or is
I do, but I don't put the sriracha in. I'm kind of a purist like that. Mm. I just like it like really, really simple. And another reason why pho is so great is I used to eat pho every day, every single day. And this is when I lived in D.C. There's this place, Pho 75. That's in Arlington, Virginia. That was amazing. It was so, like, authentic. And then there were a lot of, like, Army people, Pentagon people that would come there. And you felt like you're in Vietnam. It was pretty crazy. But so I would eat it every day, and I would check out people's pho styles. Like
eating styles?
Yeah, like, well, how you prepare the bowl. And so my thing was I would make a... I would break the leaves up, and then
The basil and stuff.
Yeah, totally. Like some people, I would see them like they would just mince up the basil in like tiny little pieces. I saw an old man; he would pick up a stem and like bite a leaf off, you know, every few bites. So my thing would be to like break. So it was kind of a mixture. I'd make the minced basil leaves, and then I would stick in a couple sprigs and make like this island, tropical island scene with it. It's just so beautiful, and it's such a good food.
It's a playful dish.
It is, yeah. And did you discuss what is your perfect date food?
Oh, I don't discuss this with anyone.
Oh,
no, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I'm keeping a poll here. No, but I do love noodles a lot. I just love it. And, you know, I grew up eating noodle soups just as a snack, as a meal, as everything, breakfast. And when I first saw, like, friends, like, with, like, ramen packs of instant ramen, they get rid of the broth, it made me cringe. Like, they would just eat the noodles straight up without any broth. Or, like, I'd go to a restaurant to, you know, like a cool ramen shop in the East Village, and I see people never drink the soup, never. And because I always eat the noodles with like one hand on my spoon, one hand on my chopsticks, and I kind of like pool it all together. And
sure.
So each bite has a lot of like broth. And that just irks me when I see that done. So yeah, everyone has their pet peeves. And like, I don't think I could, I don't know.
It's like watching someone eat a bagel and then they scrape on the cream cheese like so light
that it's like watching somebody walk around with their pants on backwards. It's not attractive. I don't know.
I'm just trying to think of an example when that's attractive. No, there is no exact attractive example of pants on backwardness.
But it doesn't make any sense either. So like, you know, everyone has their own quirks, shall we?
So are you still dodging the question?
I honestly don't know, but I do like spicy, fiery, funky foods, pickled foods. Kimchi is definitely up there. I think that kimchi is really great to flavor really fresh foods. So like I would put it in, I don't know, like a snap pea salad this time of year, something really fresh, like your salsa is really great. Something just light, maybe like a little lettuce wrap or something.
The Korean tacos with like the lettuce, put a little rice, some kimchi, maybe some bulgogi.
Yok-cham. Yeah, like a bulgogi. Yeah. So, you know, finger food. It's fun.
If this weren't the radio and this were TV, I would say eye to eye and everyone would know what I'm talking about. But it's the radio. So, yeah, I'm ear to ear with you on this.
So we are actually at Roberta's right now, and they have lots of pizza. What do you think of kimchi and pizza? Is that a good combo? Cheese?
Of course.
Kimchi sauce, maybe?
Yeah, well, ooh.
Maybe we should get one of the chefs here to enter the palooza.
I think that would sound amazing. I'm actually doing a kimchi class at Murray's Cheese on July the 13th, where we're doing kimchi and cheese pairings there.
Okay.
Kimchi goes well with cheese. Doesn't go too well with wine. I got asked to do like a kimchi and wine pairing, and I was like, they're like, what do you recommend? And I was like, I recommend you don't do it. You know, I was like, beer, yeah, kimchi and beer, sure, great, but
I
like,
can see beer all the way.
Yeah totally. It was great. I did an event, and I was paired with Kelso Brewery, and we did I don't remember the name of the beer. All I remember, it tasted really good, and I had chili with it. Beer and chili, that's like Donnie and Marie.
Yeah. Sounds good. And, you know, maybe something with a beer with a little ginger in it would be good, too, because there's a lot of ginger in kimchi.
Yeah, something nice and light, like a fresh, like kind of young beer for the summer. Kimchi salad. I think that would be good. You know, like the Thai or like the Vietnamese beef salad.
Oh, yeah.
With like that'd a little bit of kimchi
maybe
in there.
A little green papaya or something in kimchi. So many possibilities. I can't wait to see what we do. Okay, so for one last quick question for all the home cooks out there who maybe haven't made kimchi. You don't cook it. You just kind of let it ferment. What is like a really good tip, like a no-no or a gotta keep in mind?
Yeah.
I've seen friends make it with like a chili paste, like a gochujang, which I don't really use. I use the dry Korean chili powder, pepper. Is there any like pet peeve you have?
Biggest no-no. I would say my biggest peeve, which I don't like, and some people do, I guess, is making it too sweet. Because I'll leave the restaurant nameless, but it's been around for a long time.
Exactly.
It's been around for a long time, and I went there like not too long ago. And I ordered the kimchi jjigae, the kimchi soup. And I got, like, you know, the seafood pancake, whatever. I was like, I'll just get this just in case. And I got the soup. I could not eat it because it was so sweet. I was just, So
you don't add any sugar to kimchi, right?
You do.
You do?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
You do. And it partially helps in the fermentation, you know, the whole fermentation process. But also,
the Napa cabbage has sugars.
It does, but like people, I think they're just, now that, you know, we're turning into a diabetic nation, there's a point to this, because people that are like, say, are more fat, they crave foods that have more fat in them. It's just your biological response. And same thing with diabetes, is you crave the sugar. And so you I think, as far as palate wise, people like could subconsciously taste it less because it's just satisfying like a base craving.
Wow.
But yeah, sugary kimchi is it's
don't do it.
Yeah,
get off the wagon if you're doing that.
Yeah, put
cleanse the palate.
Put the sugar bowl down.
Okay,
please.
Thank you for that sage advice, Kadeem. And thank you for being on the show. I guess that's about all the time we have.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Wonderful time. Kimchi Palooza, July 10th.
Come check it out. I'd like to thank Jack Inslee and everyone at Heritage. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. You know a man can't crawl when he knows he's telling lies and he hears them passing by. He's not a man at all.
This is Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Kiefer. All of the trade papers are just buzzing with the information that Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, has decided that he is only going to eat food that he himself has killed, as in proteins. So thus far, he's killed a goat, a pig, a chicken, and some fish. But he's going to start hunting, he says, so that he can, you know, basically be more mindful of what he is putting in his mouth and into his body. And to quote a CNN Money article, he says, "This year, my personal challenge is around being thankful for the food I have to eat. I think many people forget that a living being has to die for you to eat meat. So my goal revolves around not letting myself forget that and being thankful for what I have. This year, I've basically become a vegetarian since the only meat I'm going to eat is from animals I've killed myself. And thus far, this has been a good experience. I'm eating a lot healthier foods, and I've learned a lot more about sustainable farming and the raising of animals." This has been Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Kiefer.
Aaron Fitzpatrick and Brian DeMarco host Unfiltered, Heritage Radio Network's very own wine program. Here's a small clip.
I will say that I tasted a lot of wines, and I went to Bollinger.
Mm.
And it was the special cuvée, which is, and I'll explain the difference between that and Roeder in a minute, but the special cuvée was the most three-dimensional wine that I'd had in my mouth up until that point, and it was actually pretty much one of the only ones of the day. Really spectacular, and it's made, I'll just say, in a different style from Roederer, because it is a certain portion of the blend every year, and their style is aged in barrels, and it gives it more of a toasty, fuller style. And it's really, you know, it's a big champagne.
It's a masculine champagne.
Mm-hmm. It is. I tried to get away, stay away from that, but it's true. I mean, James Bond, the whole thing. Yeah. But it's a big wine. It's a great food wine. But then,
want to hear more? We'll tune in every Tuesday at 4 p.m. live to Unfiltered, or check out the old episodes in our archives. Also, make sure to subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. Thanks for listening.